It's Iowa State Cyclone Night at the Colonels this Friday. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free Iowa State baseball cap and bid on Iowa State game-worn jerseys. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, three for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, three bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scotts Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant sandwich, and I give one to this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4. Now made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
Erin Coscarelli here with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The future bright for last year's second overall pick, Carson Wentz, at least according to his offensive coordinator, Frank Reich. Here's what he had to say about Wentz's development heading into 2017.
He is an incredibly smart guy, and he wants more. He's always, hey, feed me more, feed me more. He can handle more. But as coaches, you always got to be careful.
The arrow is way high up. This guy, I think he's going to be really special.
Elsewhere, Darrelle Revis working out in Florida, saying he plans to play in 2017. However, the 31-year-old all-pro corner remains unsigned. Another free agent pro bowler also planning to play next year, running back D'Angelo Williams, who says he's just, quote, waiting for a call. And Broncos starting center Matt Paradis has been medically cleared after undergoing surgery on both his hips. He is expected to be ready for training camp. This has been an NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Napa Know How.
Right now, Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for just $4.29 a quart. Quality motor oil at an affordable price. A deal so good it practically sells itself. Which begs the question, what do we do with the rest of this commercial? Repeat the deal, I guess. Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $4.29 a quart. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 7/31/17.
The Home Depot has a new idea. Free carpet installation, that means free carpet installation. Clearing out furniture? Free. Ripping out old carpet? No charge. Hauling it away? On the house. No hidden fees, just free installation on carpet $699 or more. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Unique specialty items and requirements may be priced separately.
Welcome in hour number two of the Todd Brollenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic main gym frequency. You can also listen online, kgymradio.com. We stream programming there and through the KGYM app, which is available as a free download in both the Google Play and the iTunes stores, whether you're an Apple or an Android user. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It's been fairly busy today. We enjoy hearing from you during the program and interacting and discussing things. And you're going to need that number handy, because coming up before the bottom of the hour, we're going to give you an opportunity to win a round of golf as well as a cart and some range balls from the Amana Colonies Golf Course. Again, that's coming up in the next 25 minutes. If you missed our segment with Mike Schaefer from 24/7 Sports, our countdown to kickoff, installment number two today, took us west to Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll have the podcast available online shortly. Speaking of the website, you can vote in our poll question today, which is appropriate given the fact that they installed the new midfield logo at Kinnick Stadium today. Which school has the best midfield logo? Iowa, Iowa State, or UNI, all three of them now have something along the 50-yard line. Vote now. Emil's Hideaway sponsoring the poll question. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. I'm imagining that this voting is going to be very much along partisan lines, although, as Alex, you and I are in agreement that impartially, it's hard not to like UNIs with the state of Iowa silhouetting the UNI logo, but to each their own.
I think that UNI will probably get the least amount of votes in this poll, but that's my vote. I'm going to stick with that. And we've had some arguments of, okay, well, UNI isn't an FBS school, and I use FBS, and I'm not dumb enough to fall down the D2 wormhole because I know that's factually incorrect. We've seen that happen before, but I'm voting for UNI, and I'm going to stick with that.
I mean, level of football doesn't matter in this. We're just talking about a field. I mean, you could put a high school field on there if you thought it had a good logo. UNI and Iowa are tied right now. No love for Iowa State. Still plenty of time to vote. KGYMradio.com. Cubs taking one on the chin today at the hands of the Brewers. I didn't realize people were as upset as they are about John Lackey going on the disabled list. But Kyle Schwarber came back up from AAA Des Moines, and they needed to make room for him today. So John Lackey, coming off a quality start, goes on the disabled list with plantar fasciitis in his foot. And there are some people that are saying, wait a minute, this is a little fishy. And of course,
are you talking about other teams' fans?
I saw a couple people tweet. I think one was a Pittsburgh radio host. And I didn't pay any attention to who the other people were fans of. Clearly, they're not Cubs fans, but they're crying foul here. And does it look a little fishy?
No.
Of course it does. He was fine the other day.
I understand that, but that has been an issue that he's had for a while, and it makes sense. You send him to the 10-day disabled list.
For 19 days, because the All-Star break is coming.
Exactly, and he misses one start. It makes too much sense, and it's allowed within the... I'm so tired of hearing people complain about teams doing things that are within the rules and coming up with these conspiracy theories. If it is allowed within the rules of the game, then they can do it. And I heard someone yet, and this is a little bit off topic, but I heard actually Kyle brought this up a little bit, and I don't think he was on either side of the... Actually, he was on my side of the argument. People are wanting to get rid of the defensive shift in baseball. And I feel like every time there is an innovative thing that goes on in sports that kind of changes the game, people want to do away with it. And if it's allowed, if there is, it's not breaking any rules and they came up with that idea, then everybody else needs to adjust to that. I just don't understand why people always want to do away with new ideas in sports.
Well, they've been shifting since Ted Williams. It's just you see it a lot more now. And look, it's a game. And to paraphrase a certain former NFL coach, you play to win the game. And if you've got to shift in order to do it, look, there's nothing stopping a guy from bunting 50 times consecutively down the third base line if they're going to shift to right field if you're a left-handed pull hitter. I'm not speaking specifically of Anthony Rizzo there, but David Ortiz would come to mind. Bunt 20 times in a row for a base hit, and teams are eventually going to have to stop doing it to you.
I saw an article talking about Ryan Howard and how many people theorize that his career was derailed by the exaggerated shift. His contact rates kind of remain the same his entire career, but when teams started using that exaggerated shift as often as they did later in his career, his numbers went drastically downward, which leads me to your question right there, Todd. Why didn't he lay down about 15 to 20 bunts, get on base, and you know what? If they do that, then the shift probably... Teams stop shifting him nearly as much as they did before.
And, I mean, if you're hungry, you're going to go to where the food is. And so if a guy hits the ball to certain places more often than not, you're going to put your defenders. I don't understand why people don't like the shift. But that's a discussion for another time. We talked earlier in the program today about the article that Mark Emmert from the Des Moines Register wrote, and it's available online at Hawk Central today. I think I retweeted it from my Twitter account, which is at Todd Brummelkamp, if you want to give me a follow. But for the second year in a row, the University of Iowa Athletic Department did not make a profit. That's a kind way of saying they lost money. The operating revenue was $113.25 million, and the expenditures were $116.17 million. That would result in a deficit of $2.92 million if the numbers add up there. And we don't have Mark Dukes to come into the studio and do the math for us like we did on Fireworks Safety Day, but Iowa had, I believe, a $3.24 million deficit the previous fiscal year. So 2 years in a row, Iowa has lost money as an athletic department. The story doesn't have new quotes from Gary Barta because he's sort of maintaining radio silence until we hope Big Ten Media Day in the fallout of the Jane Meyer Tracy Griesbaum trial. And you may be asking yourself, well, how does this affect that? The athletic department has a reserve of about $8 to $9 million that's sort of set aside for a rainy day. I have a feeling you and I probably have a lot less in our bank accounts, but I have a feeling that that account took a little bit of a hit. We'll see if Gary Barta talks to the media in Chicago coming up in a couple weeks. But you pair this with the rankings of the Power Five athletic departments, and I really think this is eye-opening because I think there are fans out there that think, I'm a Hawkeye fan. It's great. Why would anybody say anything bad about Iowa? Iowa, according to Pat Forty's rankings here on the article that he had at Yahoo Sports today, among the 65 Power Five teams in their Learfield Director's Cup standings, Iowa was only ahead of Rutgers in the Big Ten. And the blurb is the Hawkeyes improved from 60th to 51st, but still lag behind everyone in the Big Ten not named Rutgers. If you're a Hawkeye fan, it's got a sting hearing that, right? Anytime you get mentioned in the same sentence as Rutgers, which, by the way, is not dead last among the 65 schools. Rutgers is 64th. They managed to sneak in ahead of Washington State.
The profit thing is something that you don't think about when you're watching college football. But if I were to guess, and based on seeing a lot of other schools, namely non-Power 5 schools, and seeing some of the Power 5 schools at the bottom of the Power 5, football it's very difficult to make a profit off of football. And you think, oh, well, why? The TV deals are worth a lot of money and the ticket sales. Think about all the money that has to go into football. And then when you factor in the amount of money that Iowa is paying their head coach and their strength coach, and that's kind of the angle that you're going to get when you see people talking about this nationally. That was a story when it happened, and I think that those guys deserve to make a comparable rate that a lot of coaches, a lot of the top level coaches in college football make, but they don't bring in the revenue that an Ohio State does, that an Alabama does, that a Texas does, that a USC does. And maybe that's part of what we're seeing here.
Just to put it in perspective, Iowa 54 on the list. Iowa State is 46, one spot ahead of the next Big Ten school, which was Purdue. And Iowa State's sentences after 3 years in the top 45, the Cyclones have been 64th and 59th the last two. Now back to revenue for the athletic department, because I think another news story earlier today, maybe pointing us in the direction of what's ultimately going to happen in Iowa City. And I'm saying this right now on July 6th. You can write this down. Not that I have a crystal ball or anything. But earlier today, the University of Texas announced that it now has an official beer. Corona Light is now the official beer of the University of Texas.
Interesting choice.
Very much so, because when I think of Texas, I think of Lone Star, and I think of some other beers before I think of Corona Light. But if you take a look, what makes money at football games and athletic events? Beer. And you see Iowa making this push to expand the club seating at Kinnick Stadium, and really the only reason that they're doing this, the number one reason they're doing this, is because you can sell booze and beer in these premium seats. And we've seen other Big Ten schools that have kicked around with alcohol sales. I think Minnesota was one of the first. I am telling you right now, July 6th, mark it down, Iowa, sometime within the next 3 years, is going to begin selling beer at Kinnick Stadium. And they're going to do it because they need to make money. And the fastest way to make money is to sell beer to football fans. It is as simple as that. I don't care what the statutes are. I don't care what the rules are. They'll rewrite them. They'll get around it. They'll do what they need to do. But 2 years in a row where you're running a deficit, and you need to come up with a way to make some money, You're not gonna cut Kirk Ferentz loose and go out and hire somebody for $400,000 and go, eh, we balanced the budget. It's not going to happen. I think this sort of goes to show that we're maxed out as far as expenditures in college athletics, because you pay coaches so much money. And facilities cost so much money. And then you've got to have upkeep, and you've got to have staff, and you've got to have travel and all of this stuff. And the money keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger in certain areas, coaching salaries being at the top of the list. 3 years, within the next 3 years, Iowa is going to expand beer sales somehow at Kinnick Stadium and maybe elsewhere. I don't know. But you can't just turn your back on a readily available source of revenue. And I know there are people at the University of Iowa that say beer doesn't make them money in the press box, in the luxury suites.
The craziest. Oh, in the luxury suites.
Right. Well, how can you not make money on beer?
The craziest thing I've heard.
Yeah, I don't buy that for a second, because you ain't selling it at $2.50 a can. And I can guarantee you, bars that sell it at $2.50 a can are making money on it. You're paying way more than that, and yet the line at Iowa from certain people has been, we don't make money on beer. Come on. Who are you kidding?
Now, with your prediction, do you predict that they will sell beer throughout the entire stadium?
I'm saying they will expand it to the point where you don't have to be in an exclusive area to get. Now, maybe it's like Minnesota. They came up with, I call it the cattle pen, but there was an area that you had to go to. They changed that, I think, once the Vikings moved in with them temporarily. But you had to go out to this gated-in area, sort of like the old days when you used to go outside to smoke at halftime and stuff, and they had an area for you, which they don't have anymore for obvious reasons. But I just, how else are you going to do it? 319-366-1600. How else are you going to increase revenue while maintaining your spending? Because Ferentz isn't going anywhere. McCaffrey's not going anywhere. Take the legal settlement off the table here. That $6.5 million is going to be sort of a red herring in the argument here. And whether that is factored in here or not, I can't remember. But this is now 2 years in a row where the athletic department has finished in the red. And I'm telling you, there is one simple solution to this, and it is selling beer. And I know they've fought that for a number of years in Iowa City, and we've seen them, the quote-unquote fun police, try to crack down on drinking and the game day atmosphere. But when it comes to saving your bacon, and selling your soul, I don't know a single person in that line of work that wouldn't turn around and sell their soul to make a buck.
I really don't even think, and I agree in that sense, but I don't think that beer sales in college sports, or at least I'm failing to understand why people think that that is selling your soul, because it's going on at non-Power 5 schools. There are, let's see, 40 schools that allow beer sales, and some of them are on campus. So this theory that, okay, well, if you have on-campus facilities, you can't sell beer, that's not true. So why has the SEC fallen behind? Why has the Big Ten fallen behind? The Pac-12? Most of the Power 5 schools don't allow it, and now, what was it, Ohio State last year saying that they're going to start selling beer. So now that one of the Blue Bloods has allowed this to happen, I think it's going to spread pretty quickly. The next 3 years, we'll see. I think that's definitely a bold prediction, especially for Iowa. But eventually, it's going to be widespread. And as someone who goes to games, goes to college football games where they allow beer to be sold, I don't think it would have as detrimental of an impact as a lot of people think.
You know how much beer they would have sold to Nebraska fans during that 40-10 game if it was available? Before we get to the text line, we'll check in with Sonny in Iowa City. Sonny, happy belated Canada Day, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, and it was an excellent Canada Day. Thank you very much. And you had a very fine 4th, I assume, as well.
It was all right, yeah. Lots of fireworks and flags and patriotism.
Was there fireworks? I didn't notice this year. The way to make money, beer sales wouldn't hurt. It really wouldn't hurt. But I think that when they say they're not making money on beer, I mean, that's obviously not true. But the question is it a relevant amount of money? And I think that when it comes to relevant amounts of money on that scale, the answer is sponsorship. The answer is through corporations, through companies like Adidas and Nike and things like that, advertisements within the stadium, on the field, on the jerseys, things like that. Like that is big, big money. And that will definitely put a dent in a budget. So I think that's where your answer lies.
Appreciate hearing from you, Sonny. You can follow him at 319-366-1600. The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Hockey Guy says, simple solution, paint the water tower. I like the humor there. Ben in Iowa City says they'll need a bigger stadium jail if that happens. Well, yeah, probably. 6936 with the old fallback, stop playing cupcake teams and paying them to come play you. Guess what? That's the name of the game. Everybody has to do that. You got to have games on your schedule, and they're not coming to your place for free. So you got to do it. Now, if you beef up the schedule, I don't know whether that helps or not. Notre Dame, by the way, today announcing a series of home-and-home with Arkansas. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Dipping their toes a little bit further into the SEC waters there, which I'm sure many in Big Ten country probably noticed. Ann says $13 beers at the Rose Bowl sure sold well. Well, of course they did, because some people drink to remember and some drink to forget. And the way that that game started and played out and finished, I think a lot of Hawkeye fans were drinking to forget that day. But I'm telling you, whether or not it's a negligible amount of money, but you'd make money doing it. And they're going to explore every option, but that is where I would start. And I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying that it's the greatest idea in the world, because just like the fireworks, just like we saw with the fireworks this year, there are some idiots out there that will ruin it for everybody. But as long as somebody can count the money at the end of the day and the deposit to the bank is a little bit bigger, it's going to come to fruition. 526. We'll get to some more of your texts next. Kyle's going to join us for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Woodja is on the way, as well as hour number 3. But first, 319-366-1600. Caller number six right now, you're going to win our prize package to the Amana Colonies Golf Course. That is golf, a cart, and a bucket of range balls. Caller number six, 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is next.
For over 30 years, IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs. Learn more at ineedmycomputerstowork.com.
Hey, boss, is our computer network up and running yet?
No, they're still working on it.
It's been over 2 days. How much longer is it going
to
be?
I don't know. Everything seemed to be working fine, so I didn't think we needed to do anything. Then, when we lost all our files to that virus, I called some guy and he said our virus protection and backups weren't working correctly. He's still trying to get our files back.
I told you we needed to call IT Solutions before we had a problem.
I know.
The office where my brother works uses IT Solutions, and they aren't having any problems. My sister's business had a virus slip through, but they had all their files back in 30 minutes.
I wish that was us.
Well, since we can't get any work done around here, go to ineedmycomputerstowork.com now.
IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs for over 30 years. Learn more at ineedmycomputerstowork.com before it's too late.
Flat Screen Thursdays are even bigger in 2017. Every Thursday home game, fans can get a free raffle ticket for a chance to win one of three 40-inch flat screen TVs sponsored by First Federal Credit Union. Fans can also enjoy our Thirsty Thursday specials of $2 12-ounce regular draft beers and 20-ounce bottled soda and water every Thursday. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Hi, this is Jamie from Cedar Ridge. Celebrate with us July 7th through 9th for our 8th annual Bourbon and Blues Fest. Cedar Ridge invites you for a 3-day festival to enjoy live blues music, tours, barbecue, and of course our Iowa bourbon whiskey. And thanks to the new law, a full cocktail menu. Find Cedar Ridge on Facebook or visit us at crdistillery.com for details. Hope to see you there. Cheers.
Even though it's a holiday week, the City of Cedar Rapids reminds you that there's no delay in garbage recycling or yard waste collection. So set your carts at the curb by 7 a.m. on your regular collection day. Never miss another garbage pickup. Sign up for text and email alerts before every holiday or collection interruption at crnewsnow.com.
Welcome back in 529 on a Thursday edition of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Congratulations to Tim in Cedar Rapids, our winner of the Amana Colonies Golf Course Prize Pack. We'll have another one coming up for you tomorrow during the KGYM road trip. Driven by Linder Tire, will be in Iowa City at the Coach's Corner. Tell you a little bit about that more coming up next. But first, it's time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update with Kyle.
Rick Heller announced earlier today that Desi Drushel would become the full-time pitching coach with the Iowa baseball team. Drushel has spent the last three seasons as Iowa's director of baseball operations after serving as Mount Mercy's head coach from 2006 to 2014. He inherits an Iowa staff, returning 10 pitchers after breaking the school's single-season strikeouts record. The Cedar Rapids Colonels fell to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 5-3 yesterday, with all of Wisconsin's damage coming in the second inning. Starter Evan Sanders lasted just an inning and a third for the Colonels, and it's now on lefty Dominic Carlini tonight to help the Colonels avoid being swept in three games at home. He'll be facing Wisconsin's Jordan Desguin, and that game will get started at 6:35. The Colonels also announced a small roster move today, with outfielder Leon Marrero heading to the 7-day DL with a hamate fracture in his right hand. The team did not announce a corresponding promotion and appeared prepared to play with 24 players on the roster until they figure out how long Marrero's going to be out. The Twins missed their chance at a three-game sweep of the Angels last night, falling in the finale 2-1, but they're back on the diamond tonight, hosting Baltimore. The Twins and Orioles are starting a four-game weekend series that you'll be able to hear on KGYM Radio, beginning tonight after our show, with ace Jose Berrios on the mound against Baltimore's Dylan Bundy. That game and all the Twins games this weekend can be heard on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
And again, the big news of the day, you and I adding to that 2019 basketball recruiting class with James Betts. Tell you a little bit more about that in the days to come. Hour number two continues with Would Ya next.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with people and answers you need at their next CPAP BiPAP clinic. Get the details at careprohealthservices.com.
Honey, you're snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her?
It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Oh, oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. For the third time in his long career, Dirk Nowitzki is giving the Mavericks a big hometown discount. ESPN's Tim McMahon is reporting Nowitzki is finalizing a two-year, $10 million contract, with the second year being a team option. The team opted out of a deal that would have paid Nowitzki $25 million next season. Zach Randolph has a new two-year, $24 million deal with the Kings. And his former team, the Grizzlies, will retire his number 50. Randolph played the last eight seasons in Memphis. Three former Michigan State football players have now been dismissed from the university. Josh King, Donnie Corley Jr., and Dimitri Vance all face sexual assault charges. Baseball finals today. The Reds beat the Rockies 6-3. Sal Romano gets his first Major League win for Cincinnati. Brewers hammer the Cubs 11-2. Cardinals beat the Marlins 4-3. Tigers take the Giants 6-2. And online fan voting decides the last two players going to next week's All-Star game in Miami. Third baseman Justin Turner of the Dodgers and Mike Moustakas of the Royals.
Rock this way with Jersey Mike's and Pepsi, and you could win the music trip of a lifetime. Stop into Jersey Mike's to enter. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends August 14th. See official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions. Manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, five times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Summer involves a lot of driving. To camp, to work, to the pool, back home to get what they forgot, then back to the pool again. Wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? With Hum by Verizon, you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, have peace of mind with emergency assistance, and get expert advice from certified mechanics. Hum is the smarter, more connected way to get where you're going. Right now, buy HumX and get a $50 Visa prepaid card. Learn more at hum.com. Offer valid 6/1 through 9/4. Device payment plan or 2-year agreement required. See vzw.com for details.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my Extra Crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded Extra Crispy Chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Make the switch to Pennzoil at an AutoZone near you.
5:35, it's the halfway point of another Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, taking you until 7 o'clock tonight on all three of our frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. Again, tomorrow we'll be in Iowa City for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Stop on into the Coach's Corner. Maybe grab yourself a $2.50 domestic bottle or a $2 domestic pint. Alex and I will be there from 4 until 7 doing the show, and happy hour actually starts at 3 and runs until 7 o'clock as well. Got an interesting hour number three coming up for you as well. I guess maybe you could say this is a little bit of an extension of Would Ya, but we're going to be talking about a valuable baseball card that may or may not be a financial windfall for a member of the program. Before we can get to hour number three, though, well, it is Thursday, and that means only one thing.
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? A shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
Oh, let's go ahead and start with... let's start with Alex today. That way number two starts with Kyle. Alex, we just got done talking about Mark Emmert's story in the Des Moines Register and online at hawkcentral.com, the Iowa Athletic Department losing revenue for the second year in a row, basically losing money, not making money. However you want to spin it, they're not making money. They're coming in the red 2 years in a row now. So my question is, what would you do to fix that if you were Gary Barta and the University of Iowa?
And I think that two possible scenarios were brought up in the last hour, one by Sonny in Iowa City, and he thinks that corporate sponsors would drive more revenue than alcohol sales at the games. So if we're just going based off of those two ideas, you look at some of the blue blood programs around college football, you look at some of the athletic departments that succeed in multiple sports, and I'll just take in the Big Ten, Ohio State. Ohio State is in a large city in Columbus, so they are able to kind of control pretty much bring in fans and control pretty much the entire state. And you're talking about them being in a metropolitan area already, so they're able to bring in more corporate sponsors, have more donors, and they're also a bigger school with more graduates than Iowa. So from that standpoint, I think that Iowa probably has more than your average Power 5 team, but they're never going to get to the level of an Ohio State or a Texas or a USC that are driven by big cities. So I'm all for alcohol sales at Kinnick Stadium or Carver Hawkeye Arena, and I didn't understand why the Power 5, and this isn't an Iowa thing, why these schools in the SEC and the Big 10 and the Big 12 and the ACC, why they haven't gotten on this quicker? Because it clearly can give them a tangible amount of revenue. Now, is it going to save your athletic department if your athletic department is already down in the dumps? No, but as the figures showed that Todd brought up at the top of the hour, Iowa isn't that far from at least breaking even and possibly turning a profit. And I think that alcohol sales at a game could really go a long way. And I know Iowa wants to be a program that pays their coaches as much as they're worth. And I think that the Kirk Ferentz contract is something that they have to put out there to show him that they are going to pay him as much as a comparable or a top-of-the-line Power 5 team. But what it's doing is it's keeping them from doing the same with their other coaches. And there's a certain baseball coach that really deserves a raise right now, and who knows if the athletic department has the funds to give him a raise. And Fran McCaffrey doesn't quite make as much as Kirk Ferentz. So they're really kind of with what I saw in Mark Emmert's piece, it made sense as to why Rick Heller hasn't gotten a raise yet and why Fran McCaffrey as well hasn't picked up a big time raise.
Well, you pretty much just said everything that I could have possibly guessed or even tried to say. I don't claim to know a lot about the business side of an athletic department, but there's there's only so many things that you can do or even just throw out as a casual possibility. I think you hit on corporate sponsorships. That's a, you know, it's a really vague term, but you need to look into some things like that. And then the alcohol sales is a, you know, it's at least one potential source of revenue. But then in my time at Iowa, I had actually spoke with a professor about the university potentially want to monetize kind of the larger Kinnick environment. The, like, we all know tailgating, that entire Kinnick atmosphere on Saturday mornings. It's crazy. It's really one of the biggest events that you can look forward to here in Iowa. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of space, and there's a lot of people out there with a lot of money to spend. If you could potentially maybe find some additional vendors to stick out there and take a cut of that profit, you got to come up, got to start coming up with creative ideas like that to kind of find new sources of revenue in addition to selling alcohol.
It's really interesting, and I was just responding back and forth with our pal Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com, who was pointing out that inside the numbers USA Today released today, that the Rutgers athletic department basically gets a stipend from the university out of student fees. Some schools do this, but they got more money in fees from the students in the school than they actually got from the Big Ten this year because of the deal that Rutgers signed when they joined the league. Now, Rutgers didn't have any leverage, but it takes two parties to make a contract. No one was forcing Rutgers to take that deal, but the Big Ten is the one that had the leverage. Rutgers wanted to get in on that TV money, and the Big Ten said, well, look, if you want in, at least in the first couple years, this is what the arrangement's going to be. You're going to play ball? And Rutgers said, we'll play ball. I mean, I get the selective outrage here, and I get that it makes the Big Ten look bad, and I understand why some people would like to float that particular trial balloon. But to me, it goes back on Rutgers as the institution. And they could have stayed in the AAC where they probably belong or are a better fit. But they wanted to come to the Big Ten. And when you want to play ball with the big boys, you know, don't take a $50 chip into the high roller room and try to sit down at the poker table. And, you know, if you want to play with the big boys, then you better have big boy bankroll. Kyle Schwarber back up with the Cubs today, an ofer in his return to the lineup. There are some people that were surprised that the Cubs did not leave him down in AAA until the after the All-Star break. My question is, how would you have handled Kyle Schwarber? Would you have brought him back up? He was hitting .385. Or would you have left him in AAA until after the All-Star break?
I think it actually sounded like a really good idea to keep him there until after the break. Not just because I think he needed more time, but because I actually went back and looked at his numbers, and I thought that there was reason to believe that he had actually made real improvement in just his time there at Iowa. He started out in just his first four games. He was something like 2-for-14 or 3-for-14 or something like that. And then his second four games after that, his numbers took a huge spike. He was hitting closer to 400, had four home runs all out of nowhere, and he totally flip-flopped his strikeout-to-walk ratio. And that's just in his 8, 9, 10 games there in Iowa. And I mean, what do we have now? 3 or 4 games left before the Major League All-Star break? I would have gone ahead and let Schwarber, now that he's actually got his first hot streak of 2017, I would have kept him there at Iowa and let him ride that out and then bring him back to the major league club after the break, kind of with a little bit more confidence, kind of a little more organic starting point for him, because even if he did come back now and he was feeling good, he's going to have 3 days off again soon. So I would have been all for letting him stay hot wherever that was, which was Iowa.
I think the Cardinals went through a very similar situation with Randall Grichuk when they sent him down to A-ball, and they were working with him on his plate discipline. It's been an issue for him. He can't seem to lay off the slider in the dirt, and his numbers really bear that out, because pitchers, it's like clockwork. Just throw that slider in the dirt on a 2-strike count, and Randall Grichuk's going to wave at it and strike out. But after about, we'll call it 2 weeks of what was planned to be about a three-week stint in the minor leagues for Grichuk, the big league club said, you know what, we can't wait any longer. Things were going poorly. They were running out of options in the outfield, and they needed to do something to get him back to the major league club to try to get some production back into the lineup. And I think that the Cubs were kind of in a similar situation. Things were souring. Things were going south, and you can't just leave one of your top young prospects. He's not even a prospect at this point, but one of your top young players, one of your best power hitters, and at times one of your best hitters, period, in the minor leagues for much longer. And maybe they could have waited it out a little bit longer through the end of this week, through Sunday, to do it, but I can't fault them for seeing a guy, as Kyle said, make tangible improvement over the past week and trying to keep him hot at the major league level. Will it work out? Who knows? Well, that's yet to be seen, but I really can't fault the Cubs for bringing him back up.
The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line chiming in on a couple of the woodges so far. 9772 says, just so you know, only about 10 schools have athletic departments that make money year to year. Okay, so make Iowa number 11. Who cares? And Jason says, I wouldn't have batted Kyle Schwarber leadoff for 2 months. Well, yeah, hindsight's kind of 20/20 on that one. Alex, I'll stick with you here. What would you have done if you were Gordon Hayward? He said he was very conflicted about leaving Utah for Boston. I don't buy that for a second.
I think, in a sense, he realizes what is happening in the NBA. And I was hearing somebody talk about this earlier today. The NBA, other than the top teams and the big markets, there are so many irrelevant teams and so many teams that the only way that they're going to get good is if they hit on a draft pick, or the ping pong balls bounce their way and they hit on several draft picks in a row. And I think the Golden State Warriors actually fall under that category. They hit on some draft picks. They hit on Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. They add Kevin Durant. The rest is history. Oklahoma City Thunder, they hit on James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. They made them relevant. You think back to the Orlando Magic when they drafted Penny and Shaq, and they made them relevant. The Utah Jazz are a team that the only way that they are going to be relevant in the NBA is if they hit on a draft pick, and they did with Gordon Hayward, and he made them into a playoff team when they were one of the worst teams in the NBA. And so from that standpoint, as a guy who's played at Butler, who took that team from a very good mid-major team to a national title contender for 2 years and kind of played that underdog role, it has to be at least a little bit difficult to see the Boston Celtics and to see what he did in Utah and to leave that all behind to go join a super team. But at the same time, he realized that he has to do it. Yeah, if you want to win a ring, if you want to be a contender in the NBA, you have to join one of those teams, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I would have to agree, especially, like you said, the way that the NBA is moving right now, the reality is that there's not really time to bank on being able to stick with one team and building it up. You know, he's tried that with Utah, and they've actually done a really good job. They've drafted well, not just once or twice, but they've put together a really good looking roster pretty much entirely through the draft. And Utah right now, though, is about at its peak. And if so, Gordon Hayward signs a huge contract. He stays there for 4 or 5 years. Like you said, they're going to have to rely on draft picks, and their draft picks are now not going to be as good as they used to be because they're better now.
Their peak was the 5 seed that gets bounced in the second round. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. And the thing is, they're never going to sign just a flat-out free agent, because I'm not trying to spit fire here, but the Utah Jazz have to be on the very, very short list of most irrelevant teams in the entire NBA. Free agents are not going to sign there, and so you're not going to win in Utah, and that's just the way that it is. And then there's a whole nother whole nother part to this argument where Gordon Hayward's fit in Boston is just absolutely perfect. It's a great team. It's his former coach who's recruited him since he was in high school. It's ready-made for him. They need a wing scorer. He's going to be a featured player. It's just perfect. And, you know, the Boston is going to be, I think, probably the best team in the East, but at worst, one of the best two. And he's going to have a lot easier road to the finals and to the championship through the East than he will through the West. So he did exactly what I would have done for a lot of good reasons.
Last question, Kyle. What would you like to see done moving forward with fireworks? Should they remain legal, or would you like to see the state of Iowa and or the municipalities turn around and head back in the other direction and say, this was a massive mistake?
Well, okay. Is the law right now that you have like a month before and a month after the 4th and New Year's? Is it like a month grace period?
The law is that you can sell them in the state of Iowa, and then it's up to each individual city to put an ordinance on the books whether or not you can shoot them off, when you can shoot them off. Most of them have a window before and after the 4th of July and New Year's. So that's the law, is you can sell them in Iowa. It's still up to the cities right now whether or not it's legal to shoot them off.
Yeah, I am mostly pro firework. But with that said, it was really annoying at times, especially late at night and especially, you know, 2 weeks before the holiday. So I would keep them. You know, I think they're fun. There's a lot of people who like them. Kids like them. And it's just part of the holiday experience. But with all that said, maybe just 1 week before the holiday, maybe just 1 week after the holiday. And you, like, the difference is going to be you're really going to have to try to, like, you're going to have to let people do them in that week, but you're really going to have to enforce not doing it outside of that grace period. And that, I think that's the best answer, is to just compromise. We'll let you do it for this period, and pretty please don't do it outside that period because everybody hates it.
I thought that the period was going to be over last night. It wasn't. I heard fireworks near my apartment late into the evening. I would have to say the last firework I heard was right around 11:30 last night. And I think not only a grace period as far as date to date, but a grace period as far as don't light them off after 10 p.m., after 10:30 p.m., something like that. And I'm sure people still would, but the fact that people are still lighting fireworks and disturbing the whole neighborhood until 11:30 or 12 a.m. into the early morning, it's not good for anybody. So maybe those things aren't possible and you just have to walk back on this allowing them at all. So if you're asking me which would I rather have, would I rather have them be legal or illegal? If I had to pick, I would say go back to illegal.
I know Davenport yesterday made them illegal once again to shoot off within the city limits. So didn't last very long in certain parts of the state. 319-366-1600. You can go ahead and share your thoughts with us on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Should we just go straight to Kyle here? We're a little bit behind. So, Kyle, I hope you're ready with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Rick Heller announced earlier today that Desi Drushel would become the full-time pitching coach with the Iowa baseball team. Drushel has spent the last three seasons as Iowa's director of baseball operations after serving as Mount Mercy's head coach from 2006 to 2014. He inherits an Iowa pitching staff returning 10 pitchers after breaking the school's single-season strikeouts record. The Cedar Rapids Colonels fell to the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 5-3 yesterday, with all of Wisconsin's damage coming in the second inning. Starter Evan Sanders lasted just an inning and a third for Cedar Rapids, and it's now on lefty Dominic Carlini tonight to help the Colonels avoid being swept in three games at home. He'll be facing Wisconsin's Jordan Desguin, and that game will get started at 6:35. The Colonels also announced a small roster move today, with outfielder Leon Marrero heading to the 7-day DL with a hamate fracture in his right hand. The team did not announce a corresponding promotion and appear for now prepared to play with 24 players on the roster until they determine the severity of Marrero's injury. The Twins missed their chance at a three-game sweep of the Angels last night, falling in the finale 2-1, but they're back on the diamond tonight hosting Baltimore. The Twins and Orioles are starting a four-game weekend series that you'll be able to hear on KGYM Radio, beginning tonight after our show with ace Jose Berríos on the mound against Baltimore's Dylan Bundy. That game and all the Twins games this weekend can be heard on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
It's good to see Dylan Bundy back pitching. I remember he was a top prospect a few years ago and went through a lot of arm injuries, a kind of a smaller guy that threw hard, but back on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. Has he been there all year? I hate to claim ignorance.
Yeah, no, he was with them last year in the second half, and a lot of people thought that he was going to have a big breakout year this year, and for the most part, his results have been good. It's been Kevin Gausman that's been up and down in that Baltimore rotation, but Dylan Bundy is a guy that was on my radar coming into the season as somebody to keep an eye on, a first-round draft pick that's been battling some injuries, and we'll see if he can maybe have a big second half for the Orioles there in that American League East, which right now isn't all that interesting when it comes to the race. But I'm going to start to see some teams selling off. And speaking of selling off, that's what I might be doing. I will tell you a little bit about the predicament that I'm facing when we kick off hour number three after this. You're listening to the Todd Rollekamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. Get 0% financing for 72 months plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on vehicles like Ford Fusion, Escape, Mustang, and Explorer.